Finally, here are the directions for part 4. In this part, you will hear an interview. The interview will be followed by two questions, number 26 and number 27. For each question, you will have 10 seconds to choose the best answer and mark your answer on your answer sheet. The interview and the questions will be given only once. Now let's listen to an interview with an intercultural communication specialist.
Hello, welcome to Business Talk Today. I'm Janet Walsh, your host. And today we have a special guest, Mr. Robert Hilke, senior consultant for an intercultural training firm. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Janet.
Welcome to Business Talk.
Thanks very much for having me.
Could you tell me exactly what an intercultural training firm is?
Well, what we do is we try to provide our clients with skills that they need in order to function efficiently inside of an intercultural environment. Now, intercultural environment doesn't necessarily mean only Japanese and non-Japanese. In a sense, these kind of communication skills that we try to teach will empower the people and make it possible for them to function very well even in a domestic environment, which means that when they work with other Japanese, for example, they also are able to communicate more effectively, because ultimately it's about communication.
Now, could your program benefit someone who's, let's say, going to a non-English-speaking country?
Absolutely. Intentionally, we do present our program primarily as a comparison between the United States and Japan. And the reason we do that is not because Japan and the United States are the two economically most powerful countries at all. We do it because they represent endpoints on a continuum. There exists some continuum. It's not a black and white situation. The real world is basically various shades of gray. So, by comparing the United States and Japan in so many different ways, in terms of meeting style, for example, or in terms of education style, or in terms of, for example, human relationships and the importance of human relationships in doing business, or how much of the message is sent directly by words and how much of it is shared information based on the context, based on the situation, Japan and the United States do represent those endpoints. Then we show that the participants how it will relate to the country that they are going to do business in.
So, Robert, tell me, how long have you been doing this?
Well, gee, intercultural communication for me goes way back until, more than 30 years when I was in the Army. You may be very surprised, but the U.S. Army actually is one of the more progressive social institutions in the United States.
Oh, yeah, I'm very surprised.
Primarily because the Army has the power to be able to mandate things. For example, gender equality or racial equality. Actually, I was a trainer for racial equality issues back in the 1970s.
So what are the differences between then and now?
25 years ago, no one was really interested in intercultural communication. They thought intercultural communication is a kind we are the world kind of thing like that. But now, many, many companies have recognized that intercultural communication is a skill, and it's a skill that impacts directly on the bottom line. If you send one of your workers into an intercultural situation, and she doesn't know what to expect, she's going to experience quite a bit of dislocation. She's going to be confused. She's not going to be able to read the signals correctly. She maybe even makes some mistakes that offend people. And you lose the contract.
Now, Robert, is your company also helping top management from overseas get used to Japanese culture?
You know, we would really like to. But unfortunately, a lot of top managers in American companies in particular, I'm sorry to single out Americans, but a lot of American companies have the idea that, you know, America is number one. We're the most powerful country. We don't need intercultural communication. Intercultural communication equals other people learn about us. It's a kind of ISO mentality. They don't really see the need for doing it. And that's really a shame.
That is a shame, yes.
Because it should go in both directions, and it needs to.
Well, Robert, thank you very much for talking with us today. It's been very interesting, and I wish you all the success in the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Questions, number 26. According to Robert, why does his program present a comparison between the United States and Japan? Number 27. According to Robert, how has the view of intercultural communication changed in recent years?
Your time is up. Stop writing and wait quietly until the answer sheets have been collected.
これでこの CD は終わりです。